Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Welcome back. It's good to have you here. As always, folks, thanks for joining me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, you know what we think about that. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. Thank you for being here. And I know you're excited about being here right now because I've been telling you, John Naisbitt is going to be with us, and I'm happy to tell you that he is with us. I don't know about you folks, but when I read Megatrends almost 25 years ago, I changed my life. And the reason I'm here with you today, doing what I'm doing, leveraging technology and using the resources that we have available to us today, is largely because of the thoughts that were put in my head by John Naisbitt a long time ago. He's, as I say, the author of Megatrends, a number of other books. He's an advisor to presidents of corporations all over the world and presidents of the United States. His new book is called Mindset, and I hope that he is my new friend. John, welcome to the show.
Your new friend, John Naisbitt, reporting in.
Thank you, John. I'll tell you, it's a real honor to have you here. I know you get that a lot, but I will tell you that the reason I'm here today, and I meant that, what I said, is because of the thoughts that you put in my head about where the world was going. And it's amazing. I have something I'd like to read for you, John. This is something that John said. If we are to speak of an information economy, we must be able to measure it in concrete terms. How much of the nation's wealth is actually produced in the information sector? How many of us earn a living in information jobs? Without answers to these questions, most of us will probably choose to pledge continued allegiance to the economic reality we have experienced, the industrial era, where we produced real goods with real price tags. We will dismiss the information economy as ephemeral paperwork existing only as an adjunct to goods-producing sectors. John, you wrote that, you said that almost a quarter century ago, and today, unfortunately, there are still people who don't get that. What are we going to do about those folks?
Well, you know, I think there are, in my new book, I talk about, you know, there are opportunity seekers and there are problem solvers, and you get results not by solving problems, but by doing something about opportunities, exploiting opportunities. And it's there for us, and that's what entrepreneurs do, that's what small business people do.
Mm-hmm.
They see the change, and change is the father of innovation.
But we get these mindsets, and this is in the new book, folks, and it's a very exciting new book. We get these mindsets, don't we? And what I've been trying to do for a long time now, John, is get people to quit thinking about what they learned in the 20th century and start thinking about what's available to them in the 21st century.
Absolutely.
You know, I started telling people recently that 96.5% of all the things you know what you learned in the 20th century. And most of that is obsolete.
Well, that's pretty high, but it's probably pretty close.
John, I've got to ask you this question. You spent years studying the evolving and developing fabric of the 20th century American society back in the 60s and maybe even in the 70s. But you've lived in Europe for the past several years, I know. And so I want to ask you, with my tongue only somewhat in my cheek, did too much information about America cause you to become an expatriate?
I don't think that was it, Jim.
Okay. Was it love?
I've lived in Asia, and obviously I've lived in America, and now I'm living in Europe because I'm a global kind of guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to get the European experience, and it's been very interesting because the distance now between me and the States, the physical distance, maybe gives me a little clearer view of what's going on in the States. And I'm very close to Asia. Asia is as close to me living in Vienna as the States are. So So it's a good place to base for now, in any case,
right,
as I think about the world and try to figure it out.
Well, you write about, you have a, you actually try and convict Europe in your European Union in your book. It seems to me you call it mutually assured decline in Europe. Yeah, that's what you're predicting for them.
Well, that's what's happening now. There's really no leadership in Europe anymore, and the European Union was great and up to a point. After 700 years of killing each other, they decided to all work together, and it's come along fine. But now there's not the economic reforms that are necessary. Mm-hmm. They want to hold on to their social model no matter what, and that means they're not going to progress.
Well, I think you're right. I think he's exactly right. Not that I'd argue with John Naisbitt, ladies and gentlemen. 20 till, I should say. We'll be right back with John Naisbitt. The book is called Mindset. It's new, and it is very good, ladies and gentlemen. 20 till. Stay with us.
When I was a young boy.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, John Naisbitt, only new to the show, folks. If you're like me, he's been your friend on paper. John, I want to encourage people to buy your new book, Mindset. It's absolutely fascinating, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just fascinating, it's important, and that's the kind of books John writes. But, John, I got to tell you, I wish you could see my pitiful little dog-eared, yellowed, almost unreadable words because it's so old and used Megatrim's book. It's just...
It brings tears to my eyes.
I know it does.
I want to tell you, Jim, in the new book, half of the book is about, you know, pictures of the future, but the other half is how I get the pictures of the future.
Right.
And that's the mindset, you know.
Well, that's exactly, and that's the thing that I liked about it. And you have said that the future is embedded in the present. Can you talk to my small business owners about how to use that mindset to their advantage?
Well, the future is with us right today. The seeds of the future are right there. We don't know which ones are going to flower, but we know that what is going to be in the future is begun already. So we have to look at and see what some of the beginning changes are, and look at those pieces. I say the world is like trying to put a picture puzzle together. You see one kind of changed, and you see another kind, and you sort of collect those and see which ones fit together. And when they start, a bunch of them start to fit together, you know you've got a new thrust and a new direction.
So, one of my old mentors used to say, check your position. Whenever I would have a conundrum, whenever I wasn't sure about which way to go, he would say, check your position. What he meant was, look around and see what's happening. And that's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Look around.
So I always say focus on the score of the game. And my metaphor here is sports. You know, the Yankees got beat in, what was it, 5-3 or something or whatever it was. And, you know, you can have 100% confidence that occurred. But that should be your standard for as you look around. Sports scores, sports box scores are the standard. You can trust them. And if politics and geopolitics and technology, if they measure up to that standard, then you have quite a bit of confidence that it's going forward. But usually they don't. Usually you have 30% confidence or 20% or 60%. But use sports scores as your standard because that's 100%.
Well, you sound a little bit like what my grandmother used to say when she said, the proof is in the pudding.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what my grandmother used to say.
Yeah, and I agree with you.
We're both holding on to that.
Exactly. One of the things that you said, and if I'm not mistaken, John, of all the mindsets, and there are, what, a dozen or so, I think, mindsets.
Yeah, 11.
11 mindsets. You actually determined that one was the most powerful, and that's the ability to not to have to be right. Is that the one you think is the most powerful?
Well, it is for me. I think that's the most powerful.
Understanding say it
how
again.
Powerful it is not to have to be right. Because if you have to be right, then that closes out all possibilities. It closes out learning. It's like even in personal relationships. You've heard friends of yours, partners, argue like crazy about who's right and who's wrong, and pretty soon they forget about what started the whole thing, because they are run by having to be right. Politicians are run by having to be right also. And, you know, that closes out learning. That closes out growth.
Right.
You got to stay open to change and open to being wrong. But most people have to be right.
Well, it seems to me that you should want to win and not just be right. I mean, you could be wrong and still win, couldn't you? I mean, you couldn't, if you come to the table with other people around, if your goal is for the team to win, you could be wrong but still contribute to the overall win, can't you?
I'm laughing because I always say, look, I don't have to be right. I just want to win.
Right. Well, as I say, I'm a Naismith disciple. Let's talk about, give us another one of the mindsets in your book.
Well, one of the mindsets in the book is that I think you don't get results by solving problems. You get results by exploding
opportunities. Yeah, tell us what you mean by that.
Well, I'll give you an example from one of your clients, Aflac. John Amos in 1970 went to the Osaka World Fair, and he noticed two things that were seemingly disparate, but he put them together. One was the Japanese were getting very affluent. They were starting to get wealthy. And the other thing is they were all wearing these masks because they were afraid of getting a flu and colds. And he put those together and he says, oh, my God, here's a company getting wealthy and they're risk averse. What more could an insurance company ask for?
Right.
And as you may know, all that led to their being in Japan, a big position there. And two-thirds of Aflac's revenues now come from Japan.
Yes, it's a lot. No question about it. It's a great story. My favorite story along those lines is when Henry Ford took the peace ship, I think he called it, loaded up a bunch of folks and went to Europe during World War I. He was going to go in the war. He was seeking peace. He came back and said, you know what? I didn't find any peace, but he'd been to Russia. And he said, I did find a great market for tractors.
I've never heard that story.
Yeah, that's a great old story. John,
he was open to opportunities.
Absolutely. John, is there a website for your book?
Is there a website? Yeah, my own website.
Which is?
Which has, I never call it. Peter, what's our website?
We'll give it to you in a minute. I bet it's Naismith.com, though. But the book is called Mindset. I know it's available wherever books are sold. John Naismith is our guest. He and I will be right back. Don't go away. I know you won't. Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I don't want this interview to end, folks, because I'm so excited and so honored that John Naismith is our guest. And by the way, folks, in case you don't know of John or you haven't seen his name, his last name is spelled Naisbitt. He pronounces it as Naismith, but it's Naisbitt.
That's because Jim is Gaelic, and Gaelic is pronounced Naismith.
Exactly.
Scottish. My father was born in Scotland.
Is that right?
Yep.
Mindset is the new book, folks. It's just out. We're basically launching it on this show. Okay, he's had a couple of other previous interviews, but we won't count those.
No, this is the big one, Jim. This is the big one.
I appreciate that, John. John, can we move? I want to come back to the mindsets in just a second, but I can't let you go. You being such an expert on so many things across the world, having been on every continent, probably every country on the planet, I got to ask you about what North Korea did yesterday. Folks, if you don't know it, North Korea tested an atomic bomb, and there's some argument, some disagreement on whether it was a 500 megaton or a 15,000 megaton. I don't know how big it was, but they did test it in the face of objections by every freedom-loving country in the world. John, what do you think about all that?
Well, that's really serious. It gives new meaning to rogue nation,
mm-hmm.
and I think the the global community has to be brought, and I think will be brought together on this.
But, John, this guy doesn't, his people are already starving. Have you seen the satellite photos where they've taken at night of the Korean Peninsula? The South Korea is lit up. North Korea, there's no lights there.
Yeah.
The people are already desperate. He doesn't care about them. How could you starve them? I mean, what would economic sanctions do to him?
No, I'm not so sure it's economic sanctions. And I know that everyone would hesitate for military sanctions. But and I haven't been to North Korea. I go to South Korea quite a bit. I've been going to South Korea since the 60s, 70s, and as you know, maybe the new head of the United Nations is the South Korean foreign minister is going to replace Kofi Annan as head.
Right.
I hope that he can Ban Ki-moon. I hope that he can leverage something here. And I haven't heard from him or heard about him, but he should be very much involved.
We have not wanted China to be aggressive as long as we've known they became a superpower. But I think I wouldn't mind if China invaded and took over North Korea. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure they'll go that far, but they have been.
That wouldn't be a bad thing, though, would it?
No, it would not be a bad thing. And remember, they supported North Korea during the Korean War. And they've been backing off quite a bit recently, and they're quite upset about this testing because, after all, they are right next door.
Right.
And I think China has to play a really primary role in attending to this.
I think George Bush calls the president of China and says, "Look, they're your neighbors. You handle it, but I expect you to handle it." John, I want to leave that. Thank you for your comments on that. We'll stay posted on that topic. John, one of your mindsets is don't add unless you subtract. Talk to us about that. We've got a minute and a half.
Well, yeah, that can be a very personal thing too. You know, we have all people, big projects. Say entrepreneurs, they have products. The new product comes along or a new idea, and they say, "Gee, that sounds like a cool idea. Let's do it." But then they get overloaded. And so my counsel is for products, for projects, and so on in this regard, don't add unless you subtract. And that means if you're going to add a project or a product, then you think about which is the weakest one you let go. And in the process, you can strengthen your product lines and your activities over time.
Which I think leads to the advice to small business owners that I give them, John, about focus on your core competencies and let other people do the tasks that you have. Let other people, or I should say outsource those other tasks to other people.
Yeah, I think
that's a variation on what you're saying.
With this, sure. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
John, this has been fascinating. It's an honor to have you on the show. Will you come back another day?
I will, Jim, and I really loved it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being here. Folks, the book is called Mindset. If you like megatrends, if you've heard about megatrends, you're going to like Mindset even more. It's the new book, Mindset, out wherever books are sold. The website is naisbitt.com, and that's naisbitt.com. Check it out right there. John will be back another day. He's already promised. Thank you, John, for being here. See you next time.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Don't go away. I got one more to come after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.